Hi, welcome to the program. I have food on my teeth? Seriously? Hold on a second.
Hey there, Shaggy. Let's see.
There was a piece of spinach. There was a piece of spinach on my teeth. It was a whole leaf. Thank you for telling me. That would have been very embarrassing to go through the entire radio show with food on my teeth. Thank you very much. I owe you. Thank you.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Can't believe that. That would have been tragic.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
It's embarrassing to have food on your teeth when you're trying to...
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon. How you doing? Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? My God. How you been? Hi. Hi. How are you? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, please hold your applause. Oh, thank you. You may sit down now. Thank you very much. One of the reasons that I've always wanted to be a priest. Hey, what a weird way to start a show. If I ever wanted to be a priest, one of the reasons would be that I would stand up in front of a huge crowd of people and actually tell them when to stand up, when to sit down, when to kneel. All that kind of stuff, and they would actually do it. Where else do you yield that kind of power? A priest on a pulpit, man, you got it going. You got it going. Please rise. Please be seated. Please kneel. Oh, Simon didn't say please kneel. Stand up again. I would love to do that. I would just do Simon Says Church. That's what I would do. Simon Says Church. Thank you, by the way, to that listener who informed me at the beginning of the show that I had food on my teeth. That is, there's nothing more embarrassing than that. I have this great fear that in my dreams, in your dreams, Ron, I have this great fear that someone will tell me, oh, you have a piece of food on your teeth, and I would look in my mouth and it would be an entire pie. It would be like just an entire 6-inch pie. Anyway, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. That's my name. How you doing? I haven't been with you for a while. The last show that I recorded here for your dining and dancing pleasure was last Thursday. And then I don't know what happened on Friday. I don't know. We were going to run a Tori. Tori did a show with me, which we ran over the week. No, sorry, we ran on Monday. I went away for the weekend down to New York, down to Brooklyn, Brooklyn is New York, but it's not. It's just not. It's a separate city really unto itself, only about a half a mile from New York City itself, Manhattan, but yet a separate city. Some people live in Brooklyn very rarely, if ever, go to Manhattan, which is just across the Brooklyn Bridge. It's a fascinating place, very congested, very awe-inspiring. I was going to the Brooklyn Museum, which is a wonderful, wonderful place. Wonderful place, which was about, I would guess, 4 miles from the hotel, something like that. And when I went to the I had never used an Uber before because I can't spell it. I thought it was O-O-B-E-R, and I thought originally they would say, like, Ron, why don't you just take a Goober? And I thought, well, what are you talking about? What's a Goober? And I found out, no, it's Uber. Forget that G part of it. It's Uber. And what happens is you call a phone number or an app or something. It's through an app. And some stranger without pants picks you up in their car and drives you to wherever you want to go, hopefully. You know, it's, I just feel very, and they can put more than one person in the Uber car. I guess someone has to go into the trunk. I don't know how that works, but I'm in front of the hotel, and I say to the hotel outside guy, the whatever they call them, the doorman, I guess they call it. I said, I'd like to go to the Brooklyn Museum. I said, could you flag down a cab? And he says, I'll get an Uber here immediately. And I thought, what's an Uber? Are you going to shit your pants? I'm going to get an Uber. I'm going to get an Uber. I said, no, Ron, it's a car, and it picks you up, and we tell them, and it'll be here like in a matter of seconds. And lo and behold, high and low, this car pulls up in front of the hotel. There's no sign on it that says taxi. There's nothing on it at all. It just looks like some fucking guy in a car. And they open up the back door of the car, and I'm supposed to get into it. And I'm saying to myself, Ron, what the hell are you doing? You're in a large city. Some guy pulls up in front of a hotel and says, get in. I mean, usually in the movies, it means they take you down under the bridge and they shoot you. I mean, hey, get in the car. Muggsy wants to see you. We're going to drive you down. Muggsy wants to see you. Get in the car. Get in the trunk. So like some type of mindless sheep, I get into the back of the car, and this guy is in the front of the car, and there's a little tag on his dashboard that says his name, which didn't have a lot of letters, didn't have a lot of vowels, actually. And I think his first name was and but I just called him Kek. And it said he was an Uber driver, and I thought, oh, well, that's certainly enough for me. Nobody could just get an index card and write Uber on it and put it on their dashboard. Like, that couldn't happen. So I keep my fingers crossed all the way to the Brooklyn Museum, along with many other parts of my body crossed, and just hoping that I'm going to be brought to the museum and not end up on the bottom of the ocean floor somewhere. But I did end up at the museum, and the guy, and it was in his car, this Uber guy's car, and he had a nice looking car, you know, and baby diapers on the floor, but like, who cares about that? No baby diapers. And I got out of the car and I said, well, there's no meter. Like, how much do I owe you? And he said, $20. And I thought, okay, that's a plural there. That's $20 actually. And from where I come from, which is like here. So put an S on your dollar next time, because it's more than one. One would be dollar. After one, you're pretty much talking plural. So it's not $20, sir. It's $20. Get with the program. Get with the language. For some reason, people from other countries don't understand the concept of plurals. Maybe they don't have them there. I really don't know. I have no idea. I'm not familiar with their culture because I don't live there. But they live here and should be somewhat familiar with the plural system. So $20. So I get out the $20 and I give them a $5 tip because I'm an asshole. But I'm a good asshole. I'm an asshole to myself because $5 tip is 25% for a guy that just put me in his car. So, you know, I don't know. Like, do I pay for gas? What's happening here? Do I have to invite you over for Thanksgiving? What's going on here? I'm just getting into your car. I mean, this is a strange relationship we have. Should we go out to dinner together? What should happen now? So I give him the $25 and he speeds off somewhere to pick up the next person. I go through the museum and look at all the stuff, and it's beautiful. Now it's time to go back to the hotel, and I'm standing in front, and I'm hailing a cab. I think Ubers don't just drive around. I think you have to beckon them, which makes them not subject to licenses, just roaming the streets like car pimps. So I'm standing out in front of the museum, and this taxi pulls up, and it says taxi on the top of it with the light-up sign, and I'm thinking, okay, I feel more secure. This is an honest-to-goodness New York taxi. Here's the difference. I get into this taxi cab, and I feel secure that I'm in a registered taxi cab. Guy's very nice and all that. but he's driving like a maniac in the streets of New Delhi. He is like cutting cars off. People are flying into the air and landing on the curb on the sidewalk. And he goes, "Whoop, got another one." He's driving like a maniac, and I can feel my knuckles turning red from the grip of my hands on the seat in the back seat of the taxi. He's making maneuvers that I've never seen in my life. It's like Joey Chitwood's Auto Thrill Show. It's just it's crazy, man. But what I'm noticing is I'm getting closer to the hotel. He knows where he's going. He's a registered taxi cab. Get closer to the hotel. I'm noticing that, my goodness, the meter, and we're sitting in a little bit of traffic at that. The meter is like moving, but nowhere close to $20. And we arrive at the hotel, and I look at the meter, and the meter says $10.50. So I give him like 14 bucks, and I say, "Thank you." And I get out of his cab and I go into my hotel and I'm saying to myself, "Well, holy crap, Ron, the Uber driver, either Ubers are like incredibly expensive, like twice as much as a taxi cab with a meter nonetheless, a taxi cab with a meter that like it's going up all the time, whether you're sitting in traffic or whether you're moving. And even that only came to $11. So now I'm thinking, Uber screwed me. Did Uber screw me, or is Uber just more expensive? I don't know. I thought taxi cabs were like the most expensive thing in the world. Now I'm seeing, unless this guy screwed me, it's Uber. There's nothing, there's no meters in the Uber. There's nothing. There's just a guy that turns around and says, "Give me what I say. Give me what I say to you. How much is the ride?" $2,000. Now it's $2,000. And no, I'm not paying you $2,000, but put a plural on it. So that was my driving Uber taxi experience, and I don't think I'll ever ask for an Uber again. I don't. I think all Uber is good for maybe is delivering pizzas, but at what cost? You know, at what cost? They show up quickly, but at what cost? And I don't care for. I'm not an Uber guy, and if I were a taxi driver earning my living driving a taxi, I would say, I don't like the Uber. They should be registered. And Uber says, "Well, I don't have to be registered because we're not a taxi service. We don't roam the streets. People are calling us asking us to pick them up. There's nothing illegal with that." And I say, "Yeah, there is, because you're using your public transportation is what you're doing." Like, you know, "No, it's no different than you calling a friend and saying to the friend, Bob, can you pick me up? My car broke down." Should that person be licensed? No. I said, "Okay, but you've got an entire network of people doing this and you're earning cash and you're earning money. That makes you a business. That makes you a taxi service. You understand what taxi is? Bringing you from one place to the other. That's a taxi." And two taxis they'd be taxis. Taxi? More than one taxi? Taxis. Thank you very much. Thanks for learning the language. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. You have to figure out at this point who I am.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person, because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. Nicely stated. It is all about me. And you know what? In your world, it should be all about you. So it's not about me. It's about me to me. It's about you to you. You understand what I'm saying? Do you get the concept? This is the first show I've done since the horrible terrorist attacks in Paris, to which most of us in this country and in other countries were just glued to their TV when this was happening, going, holy crap, here we go. And it's a feeling that I think we all felt, and the feeling was helplessness. no matter how much of a peace person you may be or how much of a war hawk you may be, the feeling was, oh crap, it's actually starting to happen. What the hell do we do about this? Because it's not a country. It's just people with these ideas scattered all over the place. And these are new challenges that we have never had to deal with before. Usually we went to somebody who was knowledgeable in the field, who was involved in wars and war strategy and all this kind of stuff. Now you got this thing that kind of defies all history. It's just so brand new, horrible. It's rough. And as time passes, we start to think it through. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a real simple guy, but I try to break everything down to its simplest components. And here's what I would say if I were Barack Obama, President of the United States. First thing I would do is go to the bathroom, close the door, and say to myself, oh shit, oh shit. That's what I would do first, but that wouldn't be in public. I would just be to myself. Then I'd come out of the bathroom and I would make a statement to not only the entire world, but certainly this country as well. Actually, I had that backwards. To not only this country, but the entire world as well. I would do it from the Oval Office because it's an Oval Office kind of thing. And I would say this. As the president did say, our hearts, our sympathies, and our support goes out to the people of France, as they did when the 9/11 thing occurred here. It unites the world. The only good thing about horrifically horrible things is that it brings people together. And I remember the 9/11 thing here in this country, and everybody, whether they be Southern cracker or Northern snootball or California surfer, whatever your background was, whatever your accent, whatever your political beliefs, they were all put aside in solidarity. That we are all human and all of us have been attacked. We are all on the same boat. It's that feeling that we're all on the same level of grief and of determination to make sure that this never happens again. It's the solidarity that one rarely feels in humanity, certainly in my case. These Paris attacks have once again, first of all, it gave the United States a feeling of how you empathize and sympathize with another country. We were grieving for ourselves when 9/11 happened here. Now we get the feeling of what it was like when something tragic happened somewhere else of the same instance. I still believe the magnitude of 9/11 was far greater here, but I'm not comparing tragedies. That's a stupid thing to do. Just saying. So I digress. So this is what I would say in the Oval Office. I would president. I would sit there and address the nation and the world, and I would say the following. Here I go. I would say, terrible tragedy. It's horrible. And I would say, look. Just look. Listen to me. Just look. What we need here is for every country, every principality to, for once in our existence, all gather together for one common cause, and that is humanity, and to stop this horrible, horrible act of war against humanity, whether you our communism, a dictator, whatever the case may be, people of the free world, we have this one thing in common, and that is a war against us. And we must all band together, Russia, China, United States, France, Germany, Spain, Canada, Australia, every country must say, we are all against you. ISIS attacks everybody. Everybody. They're an equal opportunity attacker. And they don't negotiate. You can't sit down at a table with them. They want to go to their maker, and they want to take us all with them. So there is no talking. There is nothing to discuss. The world needs to band together. And this is how things become better when you focus on your similarities and you put your differences to the side. There are no politics in this war. There's no Republican. There's no Democrat. Republicans are not the enemies of the Democrats. The Democrats are not the enemies of the Republicans. We are all part of humanity. And if we all band together and use every single force from every single country, ISIS doesn't have a prayer. They might as well just all commit suicide right now and go directly to where they want to go eventually. Take your, all of you, put your suicide belts on and do it, because there's no way you can tackle everything. The intelligence, the spy and technical intelligence of the United States, coupled with Russia, France, and other super intellectual countries, they don't have a chance. Hackers have banded together and said, we are going to hack the hell out of ISIS so that they won't be able to communicate you social media. They will be lost. They will not have the same devices that we have. They will have none. We will hack them to pieces. We will hack their communicative skills down to zero. It is a war on ISIS. It's a war on a theology of certain death. And man, if that's an excuse, or a reason, I should say, for the entire world to band together, think of where we may end up. And that would be in a better place. This world finally would find commonality. And that would only be a good thing. And that's what I would say as president. I am not here to declare war. I am here to declare unity against evil. And everybody would jump on board. And for once, for a period of time, and hopefully for good, humanity would find that this planet is all we got, and we better all start protecting it in unison. That's what I would say. But who am I? I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy. Now, speaking of cyber attacks and hackers, there is a great concern by retailers, especially during the holiday season when their sales shoot up like rockets going through your underpants, the concern about cyber attacks on retail stores. I mean, when we buy something from a store, whether it be online or in the brick and mortar, so to speak, we use our credit cards, and from that, information can be gathered. It affects all of us if there's a problem with that, and many companies have gone through that problem. So we're going to speak about cyber attacks with Nick Ahearns. Let's talk to him now, Nick.
Nick Ahearns is the Vice President of Privacy and Cybersecurity, the Retail Industry Leaders Association, better known to us as the RILA. Thanks for joining us today, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
What part of the country do you live in?
I live right outside of Washington, D.C.
Ah, that explains a lot. Okay, with the train. Okay. We're talking about cybersecurity, which is such a hot topic because it seems to be in the news all the time. And if you're a retailer or any person that uses online for business, you get concerned. Everybody has computers now. Tell me about the Retail Industry Leaders Association. I have not heard of that. What does that cover?
Sure. We're a trade association of essentially the largest and most sophisticated retailers on the planet. So everybody from Walmart to Home Depot, okay, to Nike and Apple, you name it. If you go shopping there, we probably represent them.
Okay. Now, the wonderful world of the internet has opened up an incredible concern. As wonderful as it is for business, there's horrible things that loom because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. I think there are amazing things that can happen because of the internet, the ability for retailers to communicate with their customers, whether it's online or mobile or in the store in dynamic new ways is great. But at the same time, there are these risks. And I think what you see in the news frequently is the hackers are becoming much more sophisticated. It isn't the kind of stereotypical guy in his basement in his underwear who's hacking. It's nation states. Recently in the news last week, we heard about an attack from a hacker who was feeding the information to ISIS. And so you kind of see this real upswing in the level of sophistication of attack, and it's hitting every sector of the economy in ways that it had never done before. And I think you moved out of kind of defense contractors having to worry about this type of thing, and now the entire economy, everybody from your mom and pop shop down the street to the largest, most sophisticated companies, have to contend with this huge upswing in attack.
It's in the old days with the brick and mortar, you had to have an alarm security system so no one would break into your store and get into your cash register, so to speak. Now it's like the people can steal information, they can take identities, they can close your business down in a cyber attack. Has it become a worse way of doing business? I know there's more revenue, but the alternative is too awesome. I mean, I suppose retailers are extremely concerned about it, and that's why you have this association. What do you do about something like this?
Sure. I think that we and the whole world sees the amazing opportunity and amazing potential of technology, but we also see those risks. And so what we do to address the risk is a couple things. One is our companies are investing huge amounts of money in making sure that their systems are as secure as possible. That they're investing $8.65 billion in the near term to make sure that every one of the terminals that customers use when they walk into a store now has a chip reader in it, so that you're able to have your credit cards, when they get issued with a new chip in them, are better able to protect you from cyber attacks. It issues a unique number every time you go through the transaction, so that is a much better form of security than the swipe cards that are out there right now, which are essentially unencrypted or unprotected pieces of information that are transiting between you and the retailer. And we want to lock that down. So we're investing huge amounts of money. Right. We're also banding together. I think getting in front of this thing means that we all have to work together. It's really an ecosystem. And so retailers formed what's called the Retail ISAC, which is basically an organization last year to start help sharing information with each other so that they can start to combat some of the same attacks. Because the hackers don't just hack one retailer, they hack a lot of retailers. Yeah. And so some of the same types of attacks will run into a couple different folks, and that way we can really band together. And then the third way is really to try to push for legislation that can make our jobs a lot easier. And that's what we're spending a fair amount of time in, which may come to the floor of the Senate this week, is a bill called the Cyber Information Sharing Act, CISA, which we think is a huge step in the right direction to make it easier and faster to really share information and remove a legal roadblock that's out there right now. And the name of the game in cyber is all about speed. If you're not getting the kind of machine-readable or instantaneous speed to fight back, you haven't really done your job. And that's what we're really trying to do with that piece of legislation.
I don't understand what the roadblock is now.
Well, it's an interesting question. What I will say is that whenever lawyers get involved, roadblocks seem to blossom. And in this case, in order to share both with each other and with the federal government, there are just a number of legal concerns that prevent companies from sharing. And in order to make that work, this piece of legislation, which is an enormously bipartisan piece of legislation, that's sponsored by Senator Feinstein and Senator Burr, and it is has mass support from both sides of the aisle. And in Washington, it's very it doesn't happen that often that everybody starts to agree. But a similar bill passed out of the House of Representatives with more than 300 votes. It has the backing of the White House. So everybody being on the same page rarely happens, and now we just kind of have to make the final push.
Okay. So this is just a kind of a formality in order to get this on paper, so to speak, where this is pretty much a done deal. It almost sounds like you're battling terrorism and you're out to destroy ISIS. It seems like businesses are now getting involved in a protective war.
Well, make no mistake, in the 21st century, the new form of attack and the new place where the battle is happening is the internet and then in cyberspace. You don't need to hijack planes anymore. That's not required in order to attack this country. And every day, the economy of the United States is facing literally billions of attacks.
Correct.
And I think people are just, mostly unaware of that because companies are generally doing a very good job, but they only have to get it right once. And I think that's why we want to continue to take all the preemptive measures we can to really lock this thing down.
You've just used all the phrases they used to battle terrorism. Can companies afford to do this? It seems like the amount of money that's being spent for protection is an incredible amount that didn't have to be spent before. So is this something extra that businesses have to pony up? Are they doing that much better on the internet that they are financially able to do this?
I think it is a real challenge for everybody.
Yeah.
From financial institutions to retailers to you name it, I think from the issue really is that it doesn't just hit the largest folks who are who have the resources, it hits everybody. And so that's really why legislation as well as banding together and working together in a more cooperative way in the private sector is really what's required. And that's just something that we haven't really been used to. And it is the new reality.
Fascinating. How do we get involved in supporting this and keeping our interests alive as well?
Sure. So, anybody out there, I think in terms of legislation, you can always get involved in the legislative process, contacting your senator in this case, either of your senators to express support for this piece of legislation, for CISA would be a huge step in a huge way. But also, frankly, if you don't have a chip in your card right now, in your credit card or in your debit card, contact your bank and say, where's my chip?
Yeah.
Better yet, I think the banks, one problem is that the banks are issuing just chips and they're not issuing the PIN, which is the kind of the four-digit code that really goes with it. That is the standard in Europe.
Yeah.
And so ask them why they aren't issuing them if they aren't issuing a PIN.
Yeah.
And so I think those are two kind of near-term steps where people can really be involved. And then when you're shopping, use your chip and make sure that you're using the most secure form of technology possible right now. And then as new technologies emerge and better technologies, use them and really be engaged in and demanding from your retailers, but also from anybody that you deal with, that they use the most secure technology possible.
Nick, thank you so much for your time. A website that we can visit?
You can visit www.rela.org.
Excellent, which I assume is a very safe and secure website.
It's a very safe and secure website. As safe as it can be. Thanks so much.
Take care, Nick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, there are just two words for your month ahead. Regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually. You probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but... yeah. Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, new friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month. Lengthy trial. Oh, and two more. Concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, a modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration. or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month, but a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
I've been in this town so long that back in the city I've been taken for lost and gone, and I've known for a long, long time. Fell in love years ago with an innocent girl from the Spanish and Indian home, home of the heroes and villains. Once at night, Katrina Square divided, and she was right in the rain of the bullets that eventually brought her down. But she's still dancing in the night, unafraid of what it do, do in a town full of heroes and
Yes, we've had heroes and villains all throughout history. The Cowboys, the Indians, the Yankees, the Red Sox. We idolize enemies and competition and good and bad and all that kind of stuff. White hat, black hat. Even the Bible, good and evil. The devil, God. It's embedded in our society and in our humanity. And when evil becomes real and in your face, things take on a whole different level. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to rise up and defeat evil once again. Only this time, it's not a video game. It's not a suspense novel. It's not a fictional story. It's real. And let's act like it is. And get on with it. And stamp it out. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time. I'll be back again tomorrow with more program. Until then, kind of more than ever, I wish you peace. Now. And from the ashes, the phoenix shall rise. I don't know where that's from, but sounds real good.